The following is a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.
Welcome back to another K4 Wins. K, the number 4, wins.com. Go to our website. You get all of our plays. They're fantastic. Upper left-hand corner, Kai Gregory's been doing the business now for 35, 40 years. He plays both sides. It's fantastic. Right below me, Case Kiefer, chief executor of course, the Las Vegas Sun. He is the man. He is right there at Ground Zero in Las Vegas. His old man and a man pretty much knows a lot about handicapping and some betting himself, Kip Kiefer, who I'm very, very proud to do a show with on Saturday mornings, ABC 3340 starting lineup. Not to mention a plethora of other great shows he does on mediums all over the country. And I'm Tony Curry, worked at ESPN, did sports radio for 20 years. This is K4 Wins. Before we get any further, we like to let people know who we are and why we are who we are. What have our play numbers look like so far, Kai? We've gotten, of course, the playoffs kicking off a little bit later on Saturday. We're recording the show here on a snowageddon down here in Birmingham on a Friday. We've already got one of the playoff games in the boot. Notre Dame has taken one of the spots, but how's our number so far?
You know, it's funny. We ended the year pretty hot last year, staying around 64%, and this year we're starting off a little bit hotter. Last week, 22-6-3. This past weekend, we were 11-3-1. Year to date, we started off 35-12-2. We've thrown in some women's college basketball in there. We've thrown in college basketball. We got NFL. We got NCAA. We've got hockey. We got NBA, and we actually posted a soccer play, which worked out beautifully because we posted it to a draw, and it was a 2-2 draw. You know, that exciting soccer 2-2 draw after like 4 hours.
That's fitting.
You can bet on a draw. I love that. I'm going to bet this is going to tie. Okay. Hey, whatever puts cash in our wallets, man.
I got to draw the line. If we start betting on friendlies in soccer, I'm out.
Hey, whatever it takes money, man. I don't give a squat if we're betting on, little Jimmy's high school football team down the street, dude. If I could take the Hoover Buccaneers myself in this season, I'll take it. I probably can, by the way.
I got news for you. Be ready to watch. Hoover's got some inside info. Hoover's got an exciting new offensive coordinator hire that they're going to be announcing next week. And I look for Hoover to get back to where they're supposed to be be back in the state championship and back in the national rankings in the next year.
All right. Chip
English made a great hire. Our head coach made a great hire. Mad respect for him. He just got the head coaching job. So excellent. I'll throw that out there because I know some people in Hoover are going to be watching. And next week when that OC hire comes out, that's right, for high school, people are going to be like, holy cow.
Damn, I knew when ESPN started putting high school scores on the ticker down below, I knew it was over. And they're the next ones to get paid. I got news for you. It's going to happen in a little league.
And they do have high school football lines.
You're going to have
school football betting is huge.
Yeah. You'll have 9-year-olds in the World Series getting paid big bucks here probably next season. Go ahead.
Yeah. No, I was going to say, I remember when Case played for the state championship as a 9-year-old in the Alabama youth, and a big upset. I was all over Clay Cardinals that day. I think they were getting 3, and it was a lock.
Now, if you're playing over-unders in a high school ball, you're messed up. But yeah, if you can go ahead and play the side, you're good to go. Case, we were talking about yesterday. We were recording our show, of course, getting ready for the big championship games. Of course, Notre Dame gets the win last night, 27-24. Mr. January and Mitch Jeter off his foot gets it done for the Notre Dame Fighting Irish. And it was interesting because there were two teams I did not want to bet on all year long, so I had to pick one or the other. And I was actually talking to my son last night over in Clemson. He's like, who do you like? And I said, I'm going to take Notre Dame. I said, they've been getting the best of me all year long and sure shooting. They're down 7 late in that game to come back and win that football game. But when it comes to pros, no one does it better than you. I mean, as far as in futures, and I was talking to your man last night, your old man, and we were talking about just how good you are in pro football. So we're going to get into the pros. We got Chargers, Texans, Pittsburgh, Ravens, Broncos, Bills, Packers, Eagles, Commanders, Bucks, which is a very interesting matchup. But of course, the Vikings, the Rams, we'll talk about that in just a few minutes. First of all, any thoughts on the game last night? I know, Kai, before we went live today, you were going off on James Franklin. The guy is like 0-122 against top 5 teams. You should have figured he was going to lay an egg against one of the better teams in college football. Penn State goes down 27-24. And of course, we have a game later on tonight, Ohio State, Texas. Kip, we'll start with you. Your thoughts on the game last night and your thoughts on the game tonight.
You know, last night was pretty much what I expected. It got to be, an interesting game in the second half because I thought both offenses stepped up when they needed to. It was what you want to see at that caliber of game. Both of them had really clutch drives to stay in the game and kind of regain their footing back and forth. It was, after a really dull first half, the second half was really exciting to watch. And, I grudgingly have come around to understand why Penn State's been so successful. I still think there's things on their offensive side that are puzzling. I think the tandem of running backs they have are dynamite, and I don't know if I'd ever thrown the ball if I were them. But the decision making at the end to be aggressive and try to get in field goal position, we've seen that come back to bite a couple of coaches in this postseason. And Aller, who's had really good numbers in terms of taking care of the football, made a really panic kind of ill-advised throw under pressure. Would have been better probably just to take the sack and live to fight in overtime. But it was a great game. I thought the teams were evenly matched, and Notre Dame's kind of the team of destiny. I'll say finally, for them to lose early in the year in embarrassing fashion at home to Northern Illinois, I think one powerful incentive for that team all year, the rest of the year, is that every game was an elimination game. Mm-hmm. They've been in playoff mode since week two. Another loss coupled with Northern Illinois, they wouldn't even be in the hunt right now. So I think they've played with that kind of pressure all year, where some of the other teams, like a Penn State, who didn't have that many really tough matchups, they lost to Oregon in the championship game, didn't affect their status. But I think Notre Dame's played with that sense of urgency all year. And I've become a huge Marcus Freeman fan, because this team just plays. I like what he said at halftime to them. We don't need to panic. We just need to play. And I thought they played a great second half.
Kip, great point on every game being an elimination game. I'm kind of glad that happened, because I don't like to see just one really bad game throw a team off. That could have happened for Alabama this year when they lost, of course, to the Oklahoma squad. And a lot of people are like, you can't lose that game and still play in a playoff game. Well, Notre Dame has just proven you can lose to Northern Illinois and still be in a national championship game. They're playing some of the best college football out there. Marcus Freeman, you're spot on. Maybe one of the best coaches that no one talks about is out there. And I did want to ask Case to go to next. Ohio State, 6.5 point favorite later on tonight against Texas, assuming they win that ball game. What is the early line on Ohio State Notre Dame?
9.5 right now. If Ohio State rolls tonight, I would expect that to go up as well. I'm probably not going to bet it. Last night was an absolute dream for me. I know it's easy to say that, but I texted you guys, so you should know. Not to pat myself on the back, but just, it's an interesting betting conversation. It's something that kind of came up on the show a couple weeks ago. I think last week I said I made the game Notre Dame -1.5. It ended up climbing to just about got to 3 at middle of the week. And I thought that was just too much. I looked at it. I had this position on Notre Dame to make the championship game at 5-1. Ever since the bracket came out, I liked Notre Dame, Texas for the championship game. So then I had this question, do I try to middle? I found a +3.5 -140 on Penn State. And I know there were some butting heads I didn't get in on a couple of weeks ago, but I think it was Tony, you said, I don't understand. Why do people ever middle? Why do you hedge? You don't do it. And I think Kai was talking about doing it. And it's hard for me because in general, I feel like I'm a little bit more on Tony's side. There's this whole cottage industry of people who just try to get a great bet. And the first thing they do is try to buy out of it and try to hit both sides. And the reality is that it's a lot tougher than, if you do the math, it doesn't happen as much as you think. If you have a really great bet, to me, most of the time, it's better just to ride with it. So I like to look at it as two independent things. I'm never going to make a second bet unless I think there's value there. And the more I looked at this game, I was really worried about how beaten up Notre Dame was. They had two less days to recover than Penn State after the game got moved. So I went ahead and fired on the +3.5 and just hoped it could land Notre Dame by 1, 2, or 3, and got lucky. Obviously, I got there. And I agree with a lot of what Kip said. The whole team of destiny thing. I go back to Kai last week. Kai, he's only picking them for touchdown. Jesus. I'm a guy that's always looking at the game, only looking at the stats. Man, there was some weird stuff. Like the first half, Notre Dame, every key player couldn't even walk on the sidelines. They're so beaten up. I feel like I kind of handicapped her. Right? They didn't look great. Then they go in at halftime, and it's like they're miraculously cured. Mm-hmm. They look like a different team in terms of health in the second half.
Yeah, that first drive. Good grief.
It's wild. And I have to agree with Marcus Freeman as well. I heard a lot of conversations going into this game, like, how would you rate the final four coaches? And I swear, I heard a ton of people say Marcus Freeman first. And I'm just sitting here like, wow. I want to yell at the screen or yell at the podcast, like, no way, this guy hasn't done enough. Like, why do we have him so high? And I think he's really gone up in my book, that the way they've come out in the second half, in all these big games, it seems like he just presses the right buttons at halftime. If you talk to coaches, especially maybe more the NFL, they all say these halftime adjustments are way kind of overblown, or it's something we make more of than they are. But I think he must be doing something and clearly knows how to motivate them. I loved part of the speech that Riley Leonard said he gave. So I thought great job by Notre Dame at halftime. And I think it is an instance where I saw really, I had a good bet that you might not want to cut into it, that 5-1 for them to make the title. But I just thought it got a little too high, and I got lucky a little bit on that one. And it makes tonight just, I don't even want to watch tonight because I need Texas so badly. It's going to be huge for me. I bet some exactas. Like I said, I thought it was going to be a Texas Notre Dame. I have Texas to win the title. I feel like I'm just setting myself up for failure here with as good as Ohio State has looked. But I don't know. Like we talked last week, my thoughts on this game haven't really changed. I feel like it should be a close game. I think Ohio State's a little bit better, especially if they played the last two rounds. But, you know, if I'm looking on an optimistic side, it kind of reminds me coming in of the Georgia-Ohio State game a couple years ago. I mean, no one was picking Ohio State. I think they just lost to Michigan or just lost in the Big Ten title, whatever it was. Georgia was like a 7-point favorite. But if you really looked on paper and you looked at the talent, really wasn't that big of a discrepancy, even though Georgia was the defending national champions, the big favorite. And Ohio State, I mean, absolutely gave them hell. We're up big. I always remember that Brock Bowers stretch on fourth down to get there. I kind of feel like this game kind of mirrors that to me. I mean, Ohio State's the team to beat, the team everyone's picking. But Texas, I don't really think is outgunned if you go position to position, man by man. We'll see if Steve Sarkisian has some of that Marcus Freeman magic, because he needs to have a great game plan. He needs to be really locked in tonight and saying the right things. We'll see if they can do it. I think Texas has the personnel to stay close, but yeah, it's going to be an excruciating watch.
You know, we talked about last week that Texas, the most consistent football team we've ever seen, or the most consistent inconsistent team, depending on how you want to look at it. And I mean, you just want to look at some tape, go look at the Michigan games and figure out what Ohio State did against Michigan the last 40 years and see exactly what they've done wrong. I mean, it's amazing that this line is as high as it is. And again, I always like to see lines really, really close. But the way Ohio State's playing right now, Kai, there's no reason not to think that they're not going to blow out Texas later on tonight. I hope we have a good game tonight. But your touchdown Jesus came in. Are we all Ohio State tonight, Kai?
Well, you know, I will tell you, and I don't know, I haven't looked at a lot of the stuff in Vegas that Kip can see, but I would be willing to bet Vegas and bookies all across America are going to need Texas and going to need Texas.
Sure.
And I will say, I don't think we can get in trouble for this on a podcast, but touchdown Jesus should always beat Pedophile State University. Mm-hmm. Just every single time they play, that's what should happen. So, I mean, you know, and I was rooting. I don't root for Notre Dame. I don't like Notre Dame. Don't like anything about him. Touchdown Jesus. Yes. Okay. We can't be against that, but never going to pull for James Franklin. I think he's one of the most overrated coaches in the world, in the history of the world. He got away because he's up there doing well. Penn State never plays anybody. They're going to win 8, 9, 10 games because all they're going to play is one, maybe two Big Ten teams, getting a bowl game. They usually suck in big games anyway. And they played well. There was a horrible pass interference call when Notre Dame got the pick, and then they come back and score again. I don't care what the stupid official in the booth up there that's getting paid too much for a bad opinion anyway. Is. I mean, the guy goes up, picks it. It had nothing to do with the play. I understand why they called it. It's stupid, but that hurts. But you knew Notre Dame was coming back. And you knew when you're watching that game, James Franklin is going to make a stupid coaching decision. And that's what he did. He won a couple of games at Vandy. I think he beat my beloved Volunteers once. And so then he got paid to go to Penn State. I don't know if y'all have seen the video, but watching the demolition of the Penn State stadium is a beautiful thing. I just wish that would have happened like when they were playing Ohio State, so those Big Ten teams would just go away. But anyway, yeah, I like Ohio State tonight. I like Ohio State big. Although I think Sarkisian will pull some things off, I just think Ohio State defense is playing better than Texas defense. I like Ohio State's wide receivers. I still think Will Howard sucks. I think he's an overrated quarterback. He'd be great at K-State where he can run. But, you know, if they play the way they've been playing, they're not going to lose, and they'll win by 10 plus.
Well, you just said,
are they going to show up like they have the last 2 weeks? And keep in mind, it's going to be cold in Texas, which favors Ohio State.
And you just said it. I mean, Will Howard, I mean, no one's making him a Heisman Trophy guy. No one's saying he's the best quarterback to play, but he's just doing what he needs to do. You can call him a game manager, call whatever you want. He's doing everything it takes to win football games, and he knows his pieces. He knows the significant others that are around him, and he's using them to win football games and doing it pretty easily as well. All right, we're going to have a show coming up this next Friday, the national championship game coming up on the 20th, and of course, we'll break it down piece by piece. We'll have our two teams all set up, Notre Dame and Ohio State, or Notre Dame in Texas. We'll talk about that here. K4wins.com, K4wins.com. You can hear this show at least 5 times a week on Tony Curry Radio, TKR app. We have over 100,000 different followers. Make sure you check us out. Of course, you can also check us out wherever you get your favorite podcasts. We're available everywhere, including our YouTube channel and Tony Curry Radio. Let's go around the horn and talk about some NFL. I love this time of the season. We got a bunch of playoff games. Let's start with you, Kip. We're just going to go around the horn. Tell me some games you got. Give me some best bets and tell me your thoughts on this first round of games, which kicks off a little bit later on tomorrow.
Well, you got the Vikings at the Rams, but it's not at the Rams. It's in Glendale in Arizona. That's not exactly right around the corner from SoFi Stadium. I think that's a big factor here. The Rams have overachieved. I've been really kind of amazed at the fact that they just continue to find ways to win games. I think this Vikings team is really loaded. I think our consensus last week was we kind of liked the Vikings going into Detroit in the big game on Sunday night to wrap up the season. And I thought the Vikings kind of mismanaged that game because at times, particularly in the first 2.5 quarters, they were inside, not just the red zone. They were inside the 10 and the 5 a couple times and kept going for touchdowns on 4th and 5s, 4th and 6s. They just kind of let the game get away from Detroit is a tremendously talented team, but I thought they pretty much stood toe to toe with them. And I like this Minnesota team a lot. I think they're better than the Rams. And now on the neutral field, that game. And again, I'm having some vision issues today. I couldn't get some updated lines, but I know it's right around 1 or 2. You guys give me the current, but I really, of all the games, I like Minnesota. I think they're a better team than the Rams, and I think they will win. That's where I'd start off. I also maybe have a little bias, although as I've admitted to you guys, grew up a big Redskin fan in Washington. My dad was taking me to games when I was like 4 years old. I've had a tough time accepting the Commanders transition, but I still kind of have that soft spot. And I'm just so amazed at what this team's accomplished this year, really seemingly having a substandard roster, but every week they play well. Dan Quinn did a really good job in Atlanta his first couple of years before things fell apart. So I like what they've got going on. I think the Bucs are another team that I don't think is probably as good, although they're only, 9-8. When the West, somebody's got to win the South by default. I like the Commanders to go in there Monday night, and I guess both those games are on Monday night. So I'm looking ahead to the future. That's my two favorites going in, and I'm anxious to hear what you guys think about the rest of the lineup.
Bucks are giving up 3 in a particular ball game. Jaden Daniels having an unbelievable year. You mentioned the Vikings; they're up to 2.5 as of right now. And of course, those games are coming up on Monday night. I just the lineup of games in the National Football League here for this wild card weekend are just, I don't know why, but it seems like every single game is so stinking good. Case, let's go to you. What are some games that are really sticking out to you right now?
I guess the only game I think I've bet nothing on or have no opinion or really is the Vikings and Rams. I might ever so slightly lean Kip's way. I am higher on the Vikings, but I don't know. I mean, if you look at the Rams isolated for when they've been healthy, they've been awfully good. So that'll be a really interesting game Monday night in Glendale. Of course, it wouldn't be a show if I wasn't opposite of Kip on at least one. So I will say the sharp money is on his side. The movement's on his side on the Commanders, but I actually like the Buccaneers in the Sunday night game.
It's Sunday night. Okay.
Yeah. Everything Kip said's right. I mean, the Commanders are a great story and Jaden Daniels just seems to get it done, but I mean, it does seem like they've had a lot of things at the end of games go their way. I think they're 8-3 in games decided by less than a touchdown. Of course, they had the Hail Mary, some other crazy stuff. I really don't trust their pass defense, even though you think it should be a little bit better with Marshawn Lattimore back and now in the fold, getting over his injury from the Saints. And he's kind of tormented Mike Evans throughout his career. But I mean, now Jalen McMillan might be the Buccaneers' best receiver. There's a lot of matchup things I like about the Buccaneers. I feel like the way they've kind of stumbled down the stretch and looked so bad in that Saints game, I think that's kind of deflated this line. I know it was week one, so it doesn't really matter if a rookie quarterback, but they pretty much stomped on Washington the other time they played this year. So I really thought this should be more around 4, pushing at that. So I bet -3, like as soon as it came out at one sportsbook, thinking we'd never see another -3, but now you can get -3 reduced juice. So it just goes to tell you that people are seeing it Kipp's way. I'm just not one of them. I like the Buccaneers. Another one that might be unpopular, the game before that Sunday afternoon. I actually like the Packers +5 at the Eagles. I haven't heard a single person pick that side. Everyone likes the Eagles, and maybe you should just go with the Eagles because they've tormented me all year. I've kind of been down on this team, and they've just gotten it done. I appreciate the nice words you said about me betting the NFL overall, Tony, and it's certainly probably been my bread and butter, the more profitable football endeavor of the last decade or so. But this year has just not been great for me, not having a good NFL year. And I've talked to other professionals, guys doing this for a living, and they're saying the same thing, especially the way down the stretch. It's just been all chalk. And the NFL is one sport where, you know, that public influence and the lines is still big. So more than often, I'm taking the underdogs, and underdogs have just not gotten home over the last 2 months. It's been just wild. I mean, the sports books are losing a lot in the NFL around here too. But I like the Packers here. You look, they play this is another one that goes back to week one. Oddly, they played that game in Brazil. The Eagles got out to a big lead. The Packers had a couple turnovers. But I mean, after that, the Eagles defense just could not stop the Packers. I think they had more than 7 yards per play. I think they were actually the better team with the underlying stats that day. I think that line was Eagles -1.5, which was probably about fair to me. You do the adjustment, to home field, and the Eagles should be like a little more than 3, but here they are taking money, pushing towards 6. If they got to 6, I would probably bet the Packers again. I'm worried about Jalen Hurts, to be honest, coming off a concussion. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like a new study and new numbers people put together, but these guys, especially quarterbacks coming back from concussion, the level has dropped. Their level of play has dropped off a lot. We haven't seen him in 2 weeks. There's been some odd interviews. There's been some odd, like, what's going on with him? People are worried about the Packers injuries with Jair Alexander and Christian Watson. I know Jordan Love came out last week, but I think that's nothing. There's some things that I think it makes you even adjust more in the Packers. So I like the Packers getting points, and the Packers have been on the opposite end of this close game block that I talked about with the Commanders. Everyone's so down on them because I think they've lost what 3 out of the last 5 weeks. Those games were they lost by like a total of 6 points. I mean, it's the NFL. It's coin flips. The margins are so slim. I feel like we overreact to wins and losses some. So I like the Packers. And then you did mention one thing I've had a lot of success with NFL futures over the years, and that's part of the reason why I wore the Buccaneers hat, not just because I'm picking them this week, but that was one of my favorites a few years ago. I feel like people were off the scent of that team. They were kind of a quiet juggernaut. They lost some games they shouldn't have. In my column, I talked about, you know, you should do a money line rollover. This team should probably be the favorite to win the Super Bowl. We have an equivalent this year. There's a team I absolutely love in the futures market. Maybe some of the value is out now, but you could do that money line rollover. It's another 3 seed. Another team that I think isn't getting the love they deserve, and that is the Baltimore Ravens. Yeah. The Ravens would be my top team to win the Super Bowl, hands down. They're not going to be an underdog. I mean, maybe they lose. I know there's the stigma of Lamar Jackson not showing up for the playoffs. This is a super small sample so far that they lost at Kansas City last year, of course. I think he's 2-4 in 6 games. But, you know, when there's this widespread belief that someone can't get it done, that's really when you find value on the other. And that's one of my driving forces of my betting career. I feel like I say it all the time on Kipp's show, the starting lineup, and write about it. And I just think the Ravens are going to get it done one of these years if they're playing at the level that they've been playing at. And this year, they're just like off the charts efficient offensively. You know, the game at Buffalo, if it happens next week, would be awfully scary. That's going to be like a coin flip. But I'm telling you, they're going to be like a 3-point favorite at Kansas City if they play them in the AFC Championship game. I think the future numbers, the money line numbers, don't represent it enough. So I'm all in on Baltimore. I guess that starts this week. You hate to lay 9.5, but maybe start that money line rollover because I've got the Ravens winning the Super Bowl this year.
Four of the games this weekend are rematches. And of course, that includes Pittsburgh and Baltimore, where they split the series throughout the season. I had an interesting phone call with one Al DeGreco, who played 20 years in the National Football League, albeit he was a kicker. So he wasn't out there for every play. And one of his defensive coordinators, of course, was the DC at New Orleans when they had, of course, what they call the state game. What was it? Where were they had money being thrown out on the table to kill other players. Bounty gate. And I was telling him about the Jalen Hurts situation. He goes, I got news for you. He goes, every defensive player right now on the Packers has got a body part that's assigned to him. He said, you get the left arm, I get the right arm, you get the right leg, you get the left leg. And that is the part of the body you're going to go after Jalen Hurts every single time. He said, you'll see more blitzes in the first 10 plays in that game. He goes, and you will see a 15-yard penalty going high on Jalen Hurts early in the game just to knock him out. This is football. This is what you do. I can't help it that you had a concussion, but if I can knock your head off a little bit early and get you out of that bowl game early, and it's going to win us a football game, they'll probably do it in the playoffs. So it's going to be very, very interesting. Game of streaks too. You mentioned Baltimore. They've won 4 in a row. Pittsburgh's lost 4 in a row. You got the Commanders who have won 5 in a row. You got the Buffalo Bills who have won 8 in a row at home. They're 8-0. Kai, what's sticking out to you? It's a game of all kinds of different trends and things, and you have to look at these things, but the matchups are just fantastic this first weekend. What's really sticking out to you?
Well, I'll be the contrarian. I'm more concerned with Jordan Love and his elbow. He's been limited in practice this week. Looking at that game, I would sit back and wait and see. And if you can see any warm-ups, see how Watson looks, see, you know, what's going to happen. I like Philadelphia and the physical game that I think they're going to bring into that game. You know, now that it's up to 5.5-6, it's a little bit different for me. It may be something that I don't play. I mean, my favorite play of the weekend is the Chargers. You know, they're going and laying 3 at Houston. I think Houston's lucky to be in the playoffs. They played an extremely weak AFC South schedule. They're a 3-point dog at home. You know, the Chargers are 12-5 versus spread, you know, just for you, Tony, this year. I think they're a much stronger team. I think Harbaugh is a pretty good coach. I think he's going to have them in there. I think they're going to win by at least 7. You know, I really like that. The Ravens and the Steelers, you know, Flowers being out for the Ravens, it worries me enough. We're not at a key number yet. We get to 10.5. You know, you can't necessarily take Baltimore in that game. Steelers have been playing well. And I mean, the Steelers coaching staff, I mean, come on. They know what they're doing. But then again, you got another Harbaugh. I do like Buffalo over their total, 28 in that game. Bo Nix has had a great season for Denver. I think Denver is a playoff contender. I think Buffalo is a Super Bowl contender. And my two futures, a la Case, I've got Detroit plus 1,200 for the Super Bowl and Baltimore plus 1,000 for the Super Bowl before the season. Of those two, I'm going to be sticking watching those. I love the over in the Washington-Tampa Bay game as well. And then I'm not sold on Minnesota. Sam Darnold and the way he played last week really concerns me. I haven't really ever liked him anyway. And then another key there also is how is Will Reichard going to be? You know, he was really good until he got hurt in week 9. He's come back, hadn't been a Hoover kid. Love him. I don't even talk about where he went to college, but he's
great. He was great in those COVID commercials.
Yeah, absolutely. you know, but some of these line movements, you know, concern me a little bit. I can't believe the Washington Tampa Bay game hasn't moved off 50.5. That it's just been sitting there at 50. I really love the over 50.5. I still love the over. I probably bet it all the way up to 53 or 54, maybe more. But I just think the best play of the weekend is the Chargers. And then, you know, like I said, we can talk about here in a little bit is the college basketball schedule that for Saturday, just the top 25 matchups, not to mention anything else. It's just freaking incredible. I can't wait to go downstairs in the man cave, have 4 TVs going and watch. I mean, I'm sure I'll have one of them on football, but I just watch basketball all day long.
We'll get into those a little bit later on the show here as we got time going, and we're going to go a little long, but that's okay. I'm also with you on the Chargers. I love the Chargers. Jim Harbaugh is going back to NRG Stadium, of course, just almost a year after he won a national title with the Michigan Wolverines, so he knows that place very, very well. He could also be only the second head coach to win playoff games in his first season in the National Football League. The other guy to do it, Pete Carroll, did it in the National Football League, which I think is pretty interesting. interesting. Chargers have won three in a row. They've given up an NFL best 301 points throughout the season, which a lot of people aren't even talking. Everyone's talking about the defense, the National Football League. The Chargers defense is lights out, just fantastic. They're very, very good. And another interesting stat too is Texas 7-1 in unders at home this year. When they play home, man, they play ugly, muddy football. Is that going to be enough for the Chargers to give up 3.5? I think that's going to be interesting. Herbert, another one of those guys, we're all talking about Mahomes. We're talking about every other quarterback in the league. We're not talking about Justin Herbert. Only 3 picks all season long. Do have to keep in mind that the Texans had 19 takeaways throughout the season, which is second best in the National Football League. I'm going to take the Chargers. I like the Ravens minus the 9.5. I know it's a lot of points, but I think this is just Lamar Jackson's year. This is the year he's going to win the MVP. I think he's going to get it done. I mentioned the fact they won 4 in a row. Pittsburgh, man, just can't score. The last 5 games are averaged 14 points a ball game, under 100 yards per game on the ground. Najee Harris, despite the fact that he's averaging 4.1 yards per carry, he's still under 100 yards almost every single game. Russell Wilson looks like the Russell Wilson was with the Denver Broncos. He is totally lost. He is throwing out passes. He's missing plays. He's missing guys. He's behind on everything. He looks like the Russell Wilson is getting old. Maybe should hang it up right now, but I thought he was a perfect fit for Pittsburgh. I thought, just don't lose the football game. It's getting to the point now where he's going to make a silly play this weekend against the Baltimore Ravens. I think that'll be enough. They did split the games, but I like the Ravens to win by 10. And then you mentioned the Buffalo Bills too. I love Allen. I just love him. I think he's fantastic. Denver 4-5 in the row. Bo Nix, of the last 10 seasons, rookie QBs are 0-5 against the spread in playoff games and 1-4 overall in playoff games. I'm sorry, 0-5 overall, 1-4 against the spread in the last 10 years as rookie quarterback. So rookies get thrown into the playoffs, man. They just play a different type. I think Bo Nix is fantastic. I think he's going to be super special, but this is his first playoff game at this level. And I think Buffalo is going to be coming at him with everything they've got. I think they're fantastic. I love the Buffalo Bills, and I'm actually rooting for them to win a Super Bowl. Other games at the Packers Eagles, I think, is really, really interesting. I just told you my little story. I think they're going to be going after Jalen Hurts. I think they'll be going a little high on him. The Vikings and Rams. Kip and I were talking about this yesterday, man. No one's talking about this Viking squad. What, they win 13, 14 ball games and no one's talking about them. And what did I just say? We just said it's Sam Darnold. People just cannot wrap themselves around Sam Darnold. They just don't want to give everything up to him and say, listen, this guy's going to win a Super Bowl right now. It's amazing how he's played despite his career. Yeah, really. I mean, it could be just, it reminds me a little bit of the quarterback, Tennessee Titans, Ryan Tannehill. Sorry, could not think about it. Ryan Tannehill was a nobody. He was an absolute nobody until he gets the Tennessee Titans. And all of a sudden he's getting a $100 million contract. And now, of course, he's fallen off, but no one even knew who he was. He was lousy. He was a terrible quarterback. He was a backup. Tennessee comes in. He was just the right fit with Derrick Henry. And of course, all this running. And next thing you know, the guy's getting a big fat contract. Now where he's gone, but yeah, I think the Commanders and the Bucks, I think that's one game where I think you've had the over almost every single game with the Commanders. And I have followed suit with that. Thank you very much, because we've won some money on that. If you're not going to take the over in the game, take the Commanders team over. Because I mean, I don't know what the numbers are, but I mean, they've gone over every single week. It looks like the Commanders got 40 points on the board, even if they lose. So I'm going to take that, but fantastic stuff. All right. We got just a few minutes left here, Kai. I know you're all over the college hoops. There's been so many great games. If you're in the SEC, we may have the first ever all SEC Sweet 16. It's a possibility. We can have an all SEC Sweet 16. This is unbelievable how good that league is. Yeah, but
Texas and Missouri will mess that up.
There you go. Throw us out a couple of games for Saturday you like.
Hey, I'm going to tell you what, there are some great games. Auburn playing at South Carolina, they're going to be a big favorite, but that's going to be a really good game. Your top 25, I mean, this rundown, a bunch of blue bloods, Notre Dame at Duke, USC at Illinois, Auburn at South Carolina, Iowa State at Texas Tech. I love Iowa State's backcourt. UConn at Georgetown, Kansas at Cincinnati, East Carolina at Memphis, Tennessee at Texas, Tennessee bounce back game. Houston at K-State, Oklahoma at Georgia, LSU at Ole Miss, Alabama at Texas A&M, Kentucky at Mississippi State, Washington State Gonzaga, and night game. Don't miss out on these two. That Washington State Gonzaga game and Boise State, Utah State. Yep. Utah State being number 25 coming in. Those are some incredible games. And did you notice how many times that we were in top 25 and I mentioned SEC schools? in those games. There's some incredible games this weekend. Can't wait to see some of the team totals. You can't sleep on anybody in the SEC. Vandy's going to be okay at home. That's about it. Missouri is halfway decent, but Georgia has been a surprise to everybody this year. Mississippi State has been an even bigger surprise.
Really good.
To a lot of people this year. And there are some just incredible games on the slate Saturday. A couple more games that are going to be there Sunday. And then next week it gets even better as the ACC really starts going and the SEC gets into this. It's going to be even more fun. Yes, I'm saying it. Don't shoot me, anybody from the South. I think it's actually going to be more fun this basketball season than college football season because a lot of teams can beat each other.
I agree with you, and I think you got three faces on this show right here that agree with you as well. Great stuff, man. We'll continue. Go to K4Wins.com, K4Wins.com. This is our first year doing this website, our first time doing the show. We realize we're going to have to build some listenership. We're going to get this thing up. We're going to be all over the place in our second year coming up here. So as we go out, but make sure you take advantage of all the great plays we got. Yes, sir.
Hey, one thing we'd be remiss. We need to throw out prayers to everybody in California. And in the out there with the wildfires, and that's crazy. I know we've got other weather sweeping through, but we're starting to see winds coming through, and with the snowstorms down in the south, that's come from there. But a lot of people are in some really bad situations out there.
I've actually got several friends of mine in the radio business who just left their homes and are living in some friends' basements right now on the outskirts of Los Angeles County.
Stunning.
It's unbelievable. It's hard to believe because, I mean, that's one of the most populated counties, if not the most populated county in the entire United States. Great stuff. And thank you for bringing that up. K4Wins.com, K4Wins.com. We'll do another show coming up on Friday. We may throw up another one if you guys want to sometime between now and then. But we'll break down the national championship game from top to bottom, big time coming up on our next game. And of course you can check out all of our games if you want to go back and see. You know, we're talking about all these crazy numbers, 400 wins and 64%. You're like, you're full of crap, blah blah blah. Go back and watch our shows. It's all documented, it's all out there. And of course, for God's sakes, we got the chief editor of the Las Vegas Sun. He is on the up and up on everything he does. He's on fire, Case Kiefer down there. We'll give you all the plays, so check it out. Continue to check us out, k4wins.com, k4wins.com. guys, we'll catch up in a couple days. Thank you, man.
This has been a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.